Chapter 3, Wednesday. 1. I lay there listening to the others in the kitchen. The room was freezing cold. I had forgotten to put the heater on and had slept, if you could call it that, all curled up, the covers pulled over my head. I knew I had to get out of bed sooner or later, but the effort seemed enormous. This huge weight was on my chest, and my eyes were crusted over. Finally, I got up and pulled my woolen sailor pants and a warm turtleneck out of the closet. I dressed myself slowly, concentrating minutely on each task and trying to block out what had happened. Not just what had already happened, but what lay ahead. Police investigations, funerals, facing not one but two sets of grieving, freaked-out parents. How are we going to get through it? How long was my little chin-up, grown-up masquerade going to last? I didn't even bother to brush my teeth. I walked into the kitchen, the heaviness still upon me. They were all drinking coffee, all rumpled and funky, and nobody looked any better than I did.
"We ought to go out and get a paper," Taylor was saying.
"Why?" I said acidly. "Don't you remember what happened? Wilt and Mia are dead." I knew I had no business snapping at Taylor that way. "I'm sorry," I blurted out, and along with the apology, the tears erupted. Annabeth put her arm around my shoulders, and Cliff poured coffee for me. After I was all cried out, Taylor spoke.
"Well, what now?"
"For one thing, somebody's got to find Dan," said Annabeth. "The cops are looking for him, and the longer he's gone, the more it looks like he's running away. Barry, too."
"He's got to hear about it, right?" said Cliff. "I mean, it must be in all the papers, TV."
Taylor snorted.
"I guess you forgot that Dan lives on planet Zuni. When did you ever know him to pay any attention to the news? Besides, he's probably 50 miles from nowhere, shitting in the bushes."
I had an image of Dan then.